1 Kings, 19th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Let us pray. Father, again today I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Well, thank you for what you've done today, Lord, and how you've won souls unto yourself. And well, certainly want to praise your name for that and thank you for your goodness and kindness. And Lord, letting us just be a part of it, we thank you for it. Once again tonight, Lord, we need to hear from the Word of God, and we ask you to help this preacher tonight. I need your power, and I need your wisdom. I need everything from thee, Father, and I ask you for it. In the lovely, most wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. It's not too often, even in today's world, certainly you do find it, but not too often you find someone who is mightily used of God stepping out of the picture and someone who is just as mighty stepping in behind and doing a work for God. I think of Dr. Robertson, and I suppose there's no one who's ever going to take the place of Dr. Robertson, of course not supposed to, but the ministry at Tennessee Temple was never quite the same after Dr. Robertson left. That's not saying it's not a good ministry. It's not saying it's not doing a good job, but it just has never been the same since Dr. Robertson left. And a lot of times you find that true. But anyway, here you find a man by the name of Elisha coming in behind a man by the name of Elijah, and he's still a mighty man of God. Does a tremendous job for God, is a powerful, powerful man, and God uses him tremendously. You see that in the Bible from time to time. Joshua is another example of that. No one could ever take the place of Moses. No one ever could. But Joshua stepped into the shoes of Moses and done a tremendous, wonderful job. God used him tremendously. So what I'm simply saying is, you don't always see that. A lot of times in churches today, a lot of times you'll see churches go downhill after those who has been there for many years, maybe founded the church, goes downhill after that person has left. You'll see that many, many times. Not always. Thank God for that. But sometimes that's true. But here we have a man by the name of Elisha. And what I want to do tonight is I just kind of want to follow the life of Elisha for just a little while. I want to look at him, and I want to gain some insights concerning him and why he was used so greatly by the Lord. He was a man who affected whole empires. He was a man who brought armies to be stopped in their tracks. He was a man who dignitaries come to his doors and sought his advice and help. He was a man, as I said, just simply used for God. He also was a man who worked at a time when there was great apostasy in the land. I want us all to be reminded of something. There may be terrible times in America. There may be terrible times here in Israel. Ahab and Jezebel were still on the throne when Elisha began to do his ministry. But let me say to you that it did not stop him by being used of the Lord in a great and mighty way. The way the world is does not determine whether God's going to do a work or not. The world in America is a horrible place, horrible time going on, but God can still do the work. And we need to be reminded of that. And Elisha was a man who stepped up, took the place of Elijah, and here he was, horrible times, horrible things were going on, but yet wonderful things happened. God used him in a mighty and wonderful way. In fact, Elisha many times is called the miracle prophet. The first miracle that he performed was right after Elijah went on to heaven. He walked down, took that mantle, walked down to the River Jordan, smote that river with the with the mantle, and the river parted. And the last miracle that Elisha performed was after he was dead. I don't know whether you remember that or not, but he had already been buried. And he'd been put in his grave, and some folk come along, and they were scared of those people that was coming. They was having a funeral, so to get rid of the body, they just put him down in Elijah's grave, and they thought that would take care of it, and that man rose from the dead. I mean, that's a miracle. Why? Because of the power of God there was upon Elisha, you see. And so I'm just simply saying he was a great man of God. And God used him tremendously. And whenever I talk about great men of God, I hope you'll understand, I am basically talking about just the great God. You understand that? Now, he's greatly used of God, but we're talking about a great God. That's the thing. Elisha's God was great. And our God is great, you see. It's not us. It's not what we can do. But if we're used of God, how wonderful that is. What a blessing it is. What an encouragement to every single one of us just to be used of God, you see. But it all goes back to Elisha's God. It goes back to our God and how great he is. So what I want to do is I want to look for just a few moments this evening concerning the call of Elisha. Now, you don't have to be called into the ministry, into the pastorate or missionary or anything like that to let this help you tonight. Because what we're going to do is just look at a man who was used of God. Now, he was called for a very special purpose, Elisha was. But we all, if you want to get right down to it, are called for a very special purpose. Whether it's in the pastorate, whether it's a missionary, whether it's a school teacher, whether it's a prayer warrior, whether it's someone goes out here and works out in a factory somewhere and comes in and serves in their church and serves in a mighty way in their church. We're all called of the Lord to do a work for God. All used, you see, for him. So I believe it'll help us tonight if we just have some understanding here of what happened here to Elisha. First of all, we hear about his call. We hear some things about him. We find out about his home and his occupation. The Bible tells us that a little bit. We'll discuss that in just a few moments. But I believe that this call of Elisha will help you and help me if you're interested in the will of God for your life. I believe if I would ask, I think we ought to be interested in God's will, don't you? I mean, I think all of us want the will of God in our life, or at least we should want the will of God for our life, you see. And so I think it'll help you and I if we'll just look at Elisha and see what happened to him and how God called him. The Bible tells us over in verse 16 that he was from Abel-Meholah. And I don't remember the situation because I preached quite a few times, and I forget when it was I preached and what it was, what message it was. But remember here, I told you the other day, here some time back, that God told Elijah, he said, I had 7,000 that hasn't bowed their knee to Baal. God told Elijah that. And he gave his name and address of one of them. And that was Elisha in the 16th verse. He said, I've got one man I want to tell you about, and I want you to go anoint him. And that's what he said in the 16th verse. I want you to go anoint him in thy room as the prophet in thy room. I don't know whether Elijah's eyes got a little big about that time, but he was saying, Elijah, I'm going to get somebody to replace you. Now, if God told me I'm going to get somebody to replace you, I would probably think that I'm going to be going home pretty soon. Amen. And I imagine, Elijah probably felt the same way, but he said, I'm going to get somebody, and I want you to go down and get Elisha, and I want you to anoint him as the prophet in thy room. And so that's what he told him. So we find that he told us where he lived, where he was from, made no doubt of who it was supposed to be, because he told him he was the son of Shaphat. And he said, now his daddy's Shaphat, and he lives down here in this town, so you won't make any mistake. You see, you'll be sure and get the right one, because that's his daddy's name. That's the town he lives on. You just go on down there, and you'll find Elisha down there. And sure enough, he found him down there. Now, he was a farmer. The Bible tells us he was plowing with the yokes of oxen. The Bible says there was 12 yoke of oxen, and he was with the 12th. I take for granted, I don't know a whole lot about this, but I take for granted that there was 12 other yokes of oxen out there, and he was coming up from the rear with one of the yoke of oxen, and he was plowing. Others was plowing ahead of him, and so we know that he was a farmer. He was out there plowing. And I want you to know also, Shaphat was a man who didn't allow his son to stand around idle and play Nintendo. I mean, he didn't sit in the house and play games on the TV thing there, you know, on that, whatever they call that thing. He didn't allow that. He had him out working. I mean, he was out there plowing with some oxen, had him busy, and you know, that's the right thing to do. Now let me say a little something about that. I believe little children ought to have time to be little children. I think all of that needs to be balanced and all that. I think young people need time to play. I don't think the time they get up in the morning, they ought to start working when they're 3 years old and not work. Not have any time to be a three-year-old. I believe that they need to grow and they need to learn. They need to have time to be a child. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. But at the same time, as they grow and as they learn and as they mature, they need to learn how to work. Amen. You save a lot of problems if you keep kids busy. You just save all kinds of problems if you just keep them busy doing some things. They need to learn how to do some things. That's a whole other message, but you need to teach your young ladies how to be a good wife one of these days, how to be a good mother. You need to teach your young boys how to be a good daddy, how to be a good father, and how to be a good husband. You need to teach them that, and you'll never teach them anything if you don't teach them how to work. Amen. So I'm simply saying here, the daddy of Elisha had taught him how to work. And in fact, it's my belief that this work that he was doing prepared him for what God had for him. I believe that God had him busy. He was a worker. He was willing to take orders. He was willing to do right. And all that time, so God reached down and said, "Now I've got a fellow over there that's all prepared and ready. And I want you to go over and see Elisha, because he's already ready. And he'll know what to do. And he's not afraid of work. In fact, you'll find him working over there." And I think it prepared him. I think that's what God is looking for today. I think God is looking for people who's just busy. Just busy about what they're doing and not afraid to work. And God, that's the kind of people that God is looking for to get the job done. Amen. So anyway, we find that he was a farmer. Most of the thing we hear today is we emphasize, instead of work, we emphasize play and recreation and things like that. We talk about food and fun and fellowship, but no work. And I'm very serious about that. I really believe in many churches today, one of the reasons you can't get any work out of the people is they've never taught to work as children. So when they grow up, they don't want to do anything. I mean, they don't want to do anything in the church. They don't want to do anything here. They don't want to do anything there. They just want to get by as easy as they can. And the reason is because they was never taught how to work. See, and you ought to be taught how to work. You need to work, you see. You need to do that. So Elisha here was a young man who was taught how to work. He was busy about doing. God reached down and said, "Elisha, I want to use you." Now we also see that also in verse number 16 that it was God who told Elijah that he wanted him to be the prophet. In other words, I'm saying, no, this was not just man. This was not just Elijah going around and hunting somebody and looking for somebody and saying, "Hey, I think that guy there will do a good job." No, this was God. God told him, he said, "Now you go anoint Elisha." So when Elijah went over to anoint him, there was no doubt whatsoever that he was getting the wrong person. And again, let me say something to you. Whenever God calls somebody into a work, it ought to be God that calls them. It ought not to be mama sent and mama called and daddy sent, however they want to say it. It ought not to be that. It ought to be the person who answers the call. They ought to know for sure. You know, we have a young man sitting over here. I call him young. He's young as far as I'm concerned. Brother Tom here who has surrendered to preach the Bible, the Word of God. And that's right. He knows it. We never put any pressure on him. Tom will tell you. I never put any pressure on him while I was there. I encouraged him in the Lord. And I encouraged him and tried to help him be a blessing to him. But there come a day when he knew for sure that God had called him to preach the Bible, the Word of God. He knows that. And he's preparing for that, getting ready for it. You see, and that takes time. Preparation takes time. He's learning. He's going to night school. He's figuring on maybe going a little more night school next year. And he's working it out. You see, that's the way God does it. You see, and he found a person who was busy, worker. You all know Tom Daffram. He's a worker. He's always busy. He always doing. And that's the kind of people God's looking for. You see, people who are just willing to work and do. You see, and so anyway, he came by. God said to him, "God said, you go over and you anoint Elisha." no doubt whatsoever that he was supposed to be anointed, he was supposed to be called, and that's what you got to have. You got to have the assurance that God wants you in a certain ministry, you see. God wants you there. And then we see he did it also by casting his mantle on him. In verse number 19, he said, "So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." Now, that's the way they done it in those days. They cast the mantle upon him, and he said, "You're going to receive my mantle, and you're going to be him who's going to take over for me." And so he cast it on. Now, we don't have mantles today. I don't walk over, and I didn't walk over and cast my mantle on Jerry and say, "Jerry, here." If I threw my coat at him, he'd wonder what in the world I was doing. See, but I didn't do that. But we do have licenses. We have ordination. We have those things where the church says we believe this man is a man of God. We believe he's called of God, and we're standing behind you. We believe him, and we believe that God is going to use him, and so we ordain him. We license him and ordain him into the ministry. It's not man doing it. It's just man's giving him their approval that that is right and it's proper, and we see that God is doing some things in their life, you see. So that's why when after he left college, he was ordained, you see, into the ministry, you see, ordained into the ministry. So I'm simply saying we don't have the mantle. We don't cast the mantle, but let me say to you, you ought to know that God has called you into this work, you see. You young men, I don't know what God's going to do with you. I really don't know. I don't know what to do with you sometimes. But anyway, I don't know what God's going to do with you. But I do know this, God's going to use you. Amen. When I was your age, I was worse than you folks. You see, I'm so don't think anything about what I said. I was much worse than you. I was a mess too. But anyway, you young men are good young men, and you're going to be used of God. I don't know what he's going to use you for, but he's going to use you. You young ladies sitting here, God's going to use you. I don't know what he's going to use you for. All I know is God's going to use you. Amen. So, but don't look for me to come cast any mantle on you. I don't do that. See, I don't have a coat. I ain't going to throw it on you, okay? That's what happened to Elisha. But anyway, I did find one young man in our church said to us one day, said, "You know what?" Said, "I wonder who I ought to cast my mantle on when I graduate from this school." He said, "I've looked around." And he said, "I don't see anybody wanting to pick it up." That's what he said, wasn't it, Pastor Jerry? That's what he said. Looking for someone. Dedicate himself to the Lord and say, "I want to take up the staff and the banner. I want to carry it." Amen? Serious business. Amen? We need young people standing up saying, "I want to be that one. I just want to carry the banner." Amen? We need in our school young ladies that will lead. Be a blessing. Lead. We need young men in our school that'll just pick up the mantle and say, "I'm going to go with it. I'm going to be something special. I'm just going to set the example," you see. And we need that. We need that in our church. We need young couples, young people standing up and saying, "I'm just going to carry the banner." Amen. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be something here for the Lord. I'm just going to do whatever God wants me to do. We need that, you see, because some of us older folk are going to die off one of these days. We ain't going to be around. And we need more young people just picking up the banner and carrying it on for God. See, God kills his servants, but his work goes on. His work don't stop. Just because God kills a servant, that the work of God don't stop. Oh, no, 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 no. Work of God always goes on. It's more important than any servant. Amen. That's what we got to get done, is the work of God, you see. So Elisha was that kind of person. And then, of course, if you go with me over to 2 Kings, the second chapter. Second chapter of 2 Kings, verse 15. I'll just kind of show you, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but in Elisha's ministry, his call to that ministry and the assurance that God had called him is manifested. It's made sure because you see things happening in his ministry that proves that God was behind his ministry. See? So in verse number 15, chapter 2, and he says, "And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.'" And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, the people recognized that Elisha was a man of God. They recognized it. They saw it in his ministry. They saw what he was doing. They saw that God was with him. And let me say this, as you young people grow up, we'll be able to see when God is with you in power. We'll be able to see that. Maybe some of you young right now, we don't see it completely, but I won't guarantee you, as you get a little older, we'll be able to see how God is with you. See, we'll be able to see it manifested in you as an individual. You see, whether you're concerned more about the world or you're concerned about the things of God or not, we'll see it in you. Amen. Over in chapter 4, same situation here, chapter 4, verse number 8 and 9. He says, "And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, which where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually." Now she had time to look him over, see him. He stopped there all time and ate at their house. And she said, "I perceive this is a holy man of God." See, she understood it. I'm just simply saying, when you got a man of God, when you got somebody who loves God, you'll see it in their life. You know, no doubt about it. You'll see it. It'll become manifest in their life, you see. It doesn't mean that they're going to be perfect people. No. But you'll see God working in their life. You'll just see it. It'll just be part of their life, you see. And then, of course, we see in verse number 20, going back to chapter 19, in verse number 20, he says, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" I want you to notice how Elisha responded to the call of God. He was enthusiastic. I mean, he was excited. The Bible says he ran. I mean, he was excited. He was in earnest of what God was doing in his life. He was excited about the fact that God was going to use him. And he was going to be a prophet in the house of Elijah. And we find that the average church member today, a lot of church members, maybe not you, but a lot of church members, they barely make it to church. I mean, they come in and slump down into their seats, and they made it just about as far as they can make it. I mean, they got there. That's a real difficult thing. They made it to church. And they sit there. In fact, when the song service happens, they don't sing much. They just barely open their mouths a little bit and mouth a few words. I think the work of God is exciting. I mean, I believe it's exciting. I think it's something we ought to get excited about, you see. But I'm afraid too many times. And then, of course, sometimes about the time the sermon comes, they're taking a nap. Wake up back here. Oh, I'm sorry. But they're ready to take a nap, you see, about the time the sermon comes along. I used to have one fellow in the church that I could watch him. I could just set my clock by him. I'd start preaching, and he'd start scooting like this, you know, and he'd settle down. Just like that. And his head finally would get down on the back pew, and it wouldn't be long that he'd be snoozing. He'd done it every time, you know. And, of course, Brother Ross didn't do anything about it. I mean, you know me and all that, and I didn't do much about it. I'd just try to yell once in a while and slap the pulpit and scare him half to death. But he'd do that just about every time. He'd try to sleep, you see. We all get excited about God's work. I mean, God's doing some good things. Amen. God's doing some wonderful things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're not a perfect church. We got so far to go. We need to do so many more things. I know that. I know that probably better than anybody in here. But I want to tell you, God's been good to us. And we're seeing good things. You ought to be excited about the work of God and just determine you're going to be a part of it. You're going to come in. You're going to sit down. You're going to listen to the Word of God. You're going to be sitting on the edge of your seat and listen to what God wants to tell you and teach you and how you could be a blessing and how you can be friendly with the other folk and you can get yourself involved in the ministries and do all these things, you see, and get excited about it. That's what Elisha did. Elisha got excited about the work of God, you see. And then not only that, he was a man full of courage. I want to tell you a little bit about that. I don't know about you, but if I was Elisha and God said, "You're going to go help Elijah," I think I'd have probably said, "God, could you find me someone a little more popular? I mean, this Elijah, if I hang around that guy, we're going to both get killed. I mean, Jezebel's got it in for him anyway. and she hates him. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, he was a courageous man. He was willing to go and do exactly what God said to do. He was willing to assist Elijah here, and he was excited about it. But let me tell you, in those days, folks, you laid your life on the line. Amen. I don't think Pastor Jerry, when he came to be my assistant, I don't think he had too much to worry about his life. I don't think. He had some folk that didn't like his pastor, but he didn't have to worry about his life. Now, Elisha had to be concerned. Elijah was not a very popular person. I mean, he wasn't invited up to the Ministerial Association to speak. Oh, no. He wasn't very popular, you see. Everywhere he went, he caused trouble. Yeah. Oh, it was legitimate trouble, but he caused trouble everywhere he went. Sometimes called fire down. Burn up 50 folk and their captain. Done it again. What I'm saying is, you get around a guy like that, you got problems. Amen? So Elisha, though, had courage. And so he was not afraid of that. He was glad to do that. Do you know it takes courage to answer a call of God and do what God wants you to do? Do you know it takes courage for these bus workers to go week after week after week out here and knock on doors and invite people to the house of God? Just do that every week. Do you know that takes courage? Do you know it takes courage to just every week be prepared for a Sunday school lesson? I mean, just to be prepared, knowing you're going to stand before a class, you're going to do something for God, it just takes courage and it takes dedication, you see, to do that. Do you know it takes courage and dedication to stand out in these children's churches as our Stephanie and Brother John does in our children's churches and just do that week after week after week after week after week after week? And they don't know when the preacher's going to shut up. They just got to keep a program going until he gets done. And then I didn't realize John was so long-winded. I could have been a little more long-winded, maybe. But it takes dedication and courage just to do that. Do you know these master's clubs? You know, you just do that week after week after week after week after week after week. You know, it just takes courage to work in them. Brother Bobby, Brother Monty has led our master's clubs, I think, from the very time we started our master's clubs. Done a good job. They've got people helping them, good helpers. And they just get in and just work. Brother Frank Mumo and Brother Randy Bell are over here and their wives. They help them. The other ones get in there and help. You know, you just have to do that week after week after week after week. That takes courage to do that, you see. The youth work. We've got youth work around here. I mean, you know, just week after week after week. You got to go down there and look at those teenagers week after week and a week. And you got to deal with these teenagers week after week after week. Now, you know I'm kidding you. I love you, and I'm just teasing you because I love you. But, you know, they do that week after week after week after week. You know, in our school work down here, our teachers come in and just work week after week after week after week after week. That takes dedication. That takes work. Amen. And to be a missionary, that takes dedication. That takes courage to go to the Dominion Republic. Takes courage. Amen. That takes courage. I don't know where Brother Paul is going to end up at. But that'll take courage wherever God sends him. That'll take courage just to go out and be a missionary. And it takes courage to step out and be a pastor. We got, besides Pastor Jerry, we got Brother Poet back here. We got Brother Simpson back here. It takes courage to be a pastor. It's not an easy thing to be a pastor. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to be a preacher and just make the call of God and just step out and say, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. You see, that's not always an easy thing. But you know what? Elisha just had courage. He just did it. Amen. And that's what God's looking for today. Just looking some folk just willing to do whatever that God wants them. Not only that, also we look at this and we see it's sacrificial. I want you to notice in verse number 20, he says, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto them. You know, first of all, it took some sacrifice materially. Now, he had to walk away, living with his father there, working for his father, probably doing well because it sounds like it was a pretty big operation for those days. He walked away from it. It took sacrifice. Amen? Took sacrifice. You talk to any preacher. Talk to any man of God. You talk to any missionary. You talk to them and see if God don't just force you to sacrifice. He's going to see if you really mean business or not. Amen? And so he sacrificed. But not only that, he had to break family ties. He went back and said, "Mom and Daddy, I got to go. Got to leave." I don't know if he came back sometimes. More than likely, maybe there was times he was in the area. He was able to come back around and see his daddy and mommy. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us those things. Probably a good chance that maybe he stopped by and seen them. But he left. That's sacrifice. Amen. God's looking for people today. He's willing to simply just sacrifice. And not only that, it was a complete giving over himself to the Lord. He took those two oxen and killed them and burnt the instruments. Now, I don't know who those oxen belonged to. If they belonged to Daddy, Daddy may have been saying, "What are you doing killing my oxen, son?" I don't know who they belonged to, but he went out there and killed them, fed the people with them, sacrificed them. In other words, he was burning all his bridges behind him. Just burning these bridges behind him. Said, "This is what I'm going to do. God has called me to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to burn my bridges, you see. I'm not going to look back, you see." That's what I call commitment. Now, a person goes up onto a diving platform. Of course, he's fully clothed. But he goes up on a diving platform. And he climbs this ladder. Yes, he's got an overcoat on, in fact. And he climbs this ladder. And he gets up there. That's not commitment. He walks out on the board. That's not commitment. Commitments when you jump. Amen. Elisha completely committed himself to the Lord. He burnt the oxen. Sacrificed the oxen, burnt up the instruments, and said, "I'm burning all my bridges behind me. I'm just simply going to go do whatever God wants me to do." Now, I want to tell you something. There was no guarantees. There was no Social Security payments. There was no retirement fund. He just said, "God wants me to go with Elijah, and I'm a-going." Amen? You know, another illustration of that, which they didn't do. You remember the rich young ruler? Not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you remember the rich young ruler? You see, he came and he wanted eternal life. He wanted all these things. But when it came down to commitment, he said, "You go sell everything you have. You give it to the poor." And he walked away very sad because he was very rich. See, that's not commitment. Amen. God's looking for people with commitment. And not only that, he made it public. In verse 21, went back to his people, went back to his mommy and daddy, went back to his people that was there. And he made it public. He said, "I'm going to go serve the Lord. So I'm going to sacrifice these oxen. I'm going to burn up the instruments. And I want you to know I'm going to go be a minister of Elijah. See, I'm just going to do it." He made that public. Let people know it. That's why I was glad Brother Tom came up, made it public here in front of the church. So I'm just going to serve God. Amen. And he's burning these bridges. Yeah, he is. Yeah, just I know more about that than you do. But he's burning these bridges. He's getting ready. See, he's willing to go forward. Whatever time that takes. But he's doing that. He's getting ready, getting prepared. Just go on out and do what God wants him to do. You see, that's right. I remember the time when I went before church and told them that I was called to preach. Oh, that's an awesome time. You never had to do that. You don't maybe understand it, but that's awesome. I had a family, four children, a wife and four children. And that's awesome. So I'm going to be called to preach. Amen. I don't remember whether Brother Poet and I have ever talked about that or not, but about his call. But Brother Poet, Brother Simpson, Brother Pastor Jerry over here, they know there was a time when God called them. And they had to answer that. You had to say yes or no to God, you see. And so I'm simply saying to you folks, that's serious business, amen. And Elisha said, "I'm just going to put it all behind. I'm going to make it public. I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to just serve God, amen. I'm going to do what he wants me to do." And then also, you notice in verse 20, Elisha asked him, he said, "I want to go back." And he said, "And kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." Now, Elisha here was not going to go back and say, like the man did, I think it's in the book of Luke, where he said, I want to go back and bury my father. What he meant there was he would want to go back and wait till his daddy died. Then he'd serve God. Now, there's a lot of that going on today, but you don't do that. No, you don't do that. Elisha was simply saying, I want to go back and tell mom and daddy goodbye. I just want to go back and tell him. And we prove that when we see him sacrificing these oxen and burning these instruments here. In other words, Elijah just said, okay, you just go on back. He said, but he said to him, what have I done to thee? Now, he wasn't ridiculing him for wanting to go back. He was saying, when you go back, you give some real consideration to what I've just asked you to do. And you think about it. You make sure that you're willing to go all the way. Amen. And of course we find that Elisha was, and that's exactly what an individual needs to do. I mean, folks, I know it sounds like I'm just talking about the folk who's maybe answering a call to preach, but I'm talking about just daily Christian living. I'm talking about just giving yourself to God, no matter where you are, who you are, whatever it is, just giving yourself to God and say, I'm just going to put all these other things, I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. Be what God wants me to be, you see. And so he said, you think seriously about your call. And I believe a person needs to do that. Amen. Think seriously about the call of God on their life. And then, of course, we see his responsibility to his call. In verse number 21, he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. His first responsibility, he was going to be a servant. Boy, isn't that exciting? Wait a minute, God. You call me. Oh, surely you're going to give me something great to do. Yeah, I want you to go and minister to Elijah. Whatever Elijah needs done, I want you to do it. Do you know how long that went on, biblically? Go over chapter 2, I think it is, or chapter 1 of 2 Kings. 10 years. You don't even hear Elisha's name mentioned. 10 years. You don't even hear about him. All you hear about is Elijah. You know what he was doing? Ministering to him. Carrying things for him. Doing what needed to be done. I don't know on a day-to-day basis what he did, but listen to me, folks. You know how it is to live day by day by day by day. Sometimes it gets a time a little bit drudgery. Elisha did that for 10 years. And then God took Elijah home. And Elisha stepped into his place. So what I'm simply saying is, folks, you've got to understand, if you're going to learn to serve, or if you're going to learn to lead, you must first learn to serve. You'll never, ever be a leader if you have not learned how to be a follower. See, some folk have never learned how to follow, and God cannot use them in the place of leadership. Amen. So we need to learn how to serve. 10 years Elisha served Elijah. You know why? Because God said to. He didn't need any other instructions. He said, you go minister to Elijah. And 10 years later, he took over for Elijah. You know, there's people like that in the Bible. I told you earlier, that's the way it was with Joshua and Moses. Joshua served as a servant for many, many years. Joseph was humbled and sent to even to prison. Humbled terrifically. And finally, before he was ever put in the place of leadership. God always humbles his leaders by causing them to be servants. That's how he tests them. Amen. So again, I'm simply saying is this. Whether it's a call of some specific ministry or not, Just learn how to serve. That's what Jesus did. He was a servant. You say, Brother Ross, I get so tired of being a servant. Oh, don't get tired of having the highest position that you could have. God will reward you. God will set it all straight on the other side one of these days. Amen. He's got it all down. Amen. So again, I'm simply saying to you, look at the life of Elisha. And just look at how he answered the call and what he did and how he had that courage to step forward and sacrificial to serve God. He did it, you see. And I think he's one of the great examples in the Bible of just a man of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for your wonderful grace and your mercy and your love for us. And thank you for this example of Elisha. He sure has a wonderful, great God. And Lord, you used him mightily because he was willing to listen to you and obey you. And thank you for the example that you've allowed to be pinned down in your word so that we could hear these wonderful things and take the example and use them for our life. Once again, I thank you for the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for the servants that's here. Thank you for their willingness, Lord, to just serve you and love you and be busy about the things of God. I pray for these young people here tonight. God, grow them up to you to be used of God. Whatever capacity you want them used, Lord, that's up to you. Whatever you want to do with them. But, oh, Lord, give them receptive hearts, willing hearts to just be your servant. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.